Thank you. Good morning, and welcome to our service at Fellowship Christian Reformed Church on Burnham Thorpe here this morning. There's only a few of us here in this building, but we know that there are many of you joining us from the comfort of your homes, and we know that wherever we are, God loves us and God holds us. This morning, we are very happy to have Leslie Van Milligan joining us, preaching this morning and also singing. It's always good to have you, Leslie. And just a reminder that after the service, there's a Zoom coffee hour, and we hope that many of you will join us for a time of fellowship. Let's begin.
Beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, receive now God's greeting. Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God the Father and from Christ Jesus the Son. And all God's people everywhere said, Amen. Amen.
Crossroads of decision, wisdom calls to all and each. Come, my children, learn and listen. Heed the ways I seek to teach. Conscious thoughts are intuition, graver words of grace and peace to the pathway of the Lord. The ash heap of disaster, where is God? We cry and weep. Friends are false and faith uncertain. Wisdom seems beyond our reach. Still she whispers from the whirlwind of our pain and of our grief. Trust the goodness of the Lord.
Hear our call to worship. When we stand at the edge of fear and worry,
God invites us to step into the waters of faith and trust.
When we stand at the edge of the world's pain and need,
Jesus invites us to step into the land of humble service.
When we stand at the edge of our hunger and thirst,
the Spirit invites us to sit at the table of grace.
God gave His people hope as they traveled through the desert.
God gives us the courage to step out in faith.
God is with us wherever we go.
Come, let us worship the Lord.
We were wandering in the desert with our souls so starved and weak. We were hungry for a homeland we did not know how to seek. We lifted up our voices to the only one who is, and the God of mercy came and brought us near. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. Far out on the ocean, making wealth and chasing dreams. But the waves of great destruction brought us trembling to our knees. Then we cried like drunken sailors to the only one who hears. And the God of comfort took away our fears. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. We were wandering and lost, and our Father brought us.
Opening prayer based on Psalm 107. God, our guide and our protector, as we gather today to worship you, open our minds and souls and hearts that we may be inclined to hear the gentle direction of your Spirit in our lives. Help us to follow you as you lead us to the land you have created for us, where we may dwell with you and in you. Amen.
This time in the service, we confess that we need God's help and are assured of His promises. Hear our prayer of confession. Let us confess our need of God's help as we pray.
I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me.
We say we want you to walk with us, Lord Jesus, but we're not comfortable with the path that is set before us. We would like a smooth, newly paved road with clear markings and bright, bold signs telling us what to do, warning us of what lies ahead. But the journey of discipleship is like a rough mountain path. There are rocks, ruts, dust, dirt, holes. There may be wolves or robbers at any turn. We don't know if we dare to risk discipleship if it means struggle.
In my trials, Lord, walk with me. In my trials, with me. When my heart is almost breaking,
But you have called us to rely on your guidance and direction. You keep reminding us that God has never failed us yet. Yet we confess we forget your promise to lead and guide us.
When I'm troubled, Lord, walk with me. When I'm troubled, Lord, walk with me. When my head is bowed in sorrow, Lord, I want Jesus to walk with me.
In our troubles and concerns, Lord, we need your presence and comfort. We have so many fears and anxieties, Lord. Remind us that we have your strength on which to rely. Remind us that we are recipients of your healing love. Strengthen us. Walk with us, Lord. Lift us high and give us confident strides as we follow your will and your path. Amen.
Hear the words of assurance. People of God, remember what God has promised. You are not alone. God is always with you. You can place your trust in God, for God will not fail you. Amen.
So good morning once again. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you all and to lead you in the opening of God's Word. Let's join our hearts together in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that you will have brought us hungry to feast on your word, thirsty for your truth, so open to what your word can do to change us to be more and more like Jesus. God, I pray that you would be with the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts wherever we find ourselves, and that those words and those meditations will be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. We pray this in the name of the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to focus just on the very last word of Joshua 1, verse 9. That verse, verse 9. And I'm going to read it to you. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord. So here's the thing. I mentioned that I was just going to do one verse, and I heard that I was actually paid by the number of verses that we worked with. And so I apologize today. But I really wanted us to focus just on this short bit of scripture. I've had opportunity about a month ago to really open it up for a group of pastors' wives at a retreat. And as I was working with this verse, I realized that probably every one of us, not just those wives, as they watch their spouses kind of being stretched in this time, as they have to become tech savvy and learn how to do visits virtually, like we're all in a stretched mode, wouldn't you say? We're all in a place where we're even trying to fix things on the fly when technology doesn't work well. None of us are in a place where we feel 100% stable. Even though I had a great conversation with my a very good friend Joyce last night, and she reminded us, for some of us, there's pandemic privilege. I get to work from home. I've always worked from home. I am not necessarily in the same part of the boat as someone who has to every day get up and decide whether they want to risk getting COVID by going to stock shelves or clean somebody's house in order to put food on the table. So some of us are being stretched more than the rest of us during this time, and I want to acknowledge that as well. And yet I think this verse, I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, is very applicable to all of us in this very unusual time. Now, let's take it in context first. This verse was given to Joshua. Joshua had just taken on the mantle of leadership from Moses, and he is going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And I think sometimes we think, well, they just went through the wilderness. How hard could it be to go into the promised land, the land of milk and honey? Who wouldn't want to go there? And yet it's going to be a change. They're under different leadership, at least for what they can see. They know that God is with them. They know that God has been with them. And yet this is going to be a new world. And along the way, I believe Moses had, in the book of Deuteronomy, was constantly reminding them, remember and do not forget. Remember what you've learned in the wilderness, because when you get to the land, it's going to be easy to forget. And so we think that that step into the promised land should have been so easy. And you know what the first thing they have to do? They have to put their feet in the Jordan. And it wasn't a gradual depth pool. It wasn't that they could slowly inch their way in. It was a deep river. And they had to trust that as soon as that priest's foot hit the water would part. And here's the thing too. None of the people who had gone through the parting of the Red Sea are going through the parting of the Jordan. They have to trust the stories that went ahead of them. So this command to be strong and courageous has incredible meaning to those priests who have to go dip their toe in the water. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I bristle when I think of somebody telling me, be brave. be strong. That bothers me. Don't tell me what to do or to feel when I'm in the middle of a pandemic or in a panicky moment. As I was thinking about hearing those words, be strong, be brave, I was reminded of when I was 12 years old. And one of my jobs was to take the garbage out to the alley and put it in the garbage cans out there. And when I went out, I actually tripped over a hornet's nest. And they were all over me. And hornets can sting more than once. So I went running back to the house because I needed help to get all of these hornets off of me. But my mom had multiple sclerosis, so she could not come out of the house to help me. So she sent my younger sister, 2 years younger than me, to go out and help me. And as she's sending Anne out, she's yelling, "Be strong! Be brave!" And I can remember Anne and I looking at each other. Like, what in us can summon the courage to get through hundreds of hornets all over me? We laugh about it to this day. But my mom didn't know what she could do. All she could do was be an encourager because she couldn't be there. That is vastly different from when God commands us to be strong and courageous. He can command us because this command for strength and courage is within a promise. Be strong, be courageous. Why? Because I, the Lord your God, will be with you wherever you go. Even in this midst of this command, there is grace. In many ways, we can hear this and we can take it as a promise of how he is walking alongside us, a reminder that he is there with us. And therefore, we can be strong. And therefore, we can be brave. And therefore, we can push back against discouragement. Right there in the middle of the command is a promise. You can do this because I am a promise keeper, because I am faithful, because I am with you. So before we bristle in the middle of a pandemic when things seem so chaotic and we hear God saying, be strong, be courageous, remember he's saying that with probably the most loving tone. Be strong, be courageous. Why? Because I'm there. I'm not like Leslie's mom who couldn't come out and didn't know what to do, so she just yelled, be strong, you'll get through this. No, he says, I'm right there with you. And whenever we hear I am statements about God, we have to realize that that I am is not just I'm there with you right now. There's also the sense, and I have been with you, and I am going to be with you. The past, present, and future tense is all in that I am. His presence, he says, is what will allow you to be strong and to be courageous. His presence, he says, will help you to dip your toe into the next seemingly scary step into the promised land. I am with you, and I will be providing from you. You can draw your strength and courage from me because I have always provided for you. In this small, small verse, there is such a deep resonance of how God takes care of us. If we would use building blocks language, which we all know here, he's reminding us that we know the story and our place in the story. When we hear this, whether we're the children of Israel or the children walking through 2020, one of the worst years for many of us, he reminds us that we know God's story, we know his story and our place in it. So when he says, I am with you, all of a sudden the people say, well, yeah, this is the God who took us out of Egypt, who helped us cross the Red Sea, who got rid of our enemies, who helped us walk through the wilderness, who made his presence known in either a pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire. He's no different than what he's been before, and he will go with us into the promised land. We know our place in this story. God is with us. He's a promise keeper. He's one who wants to be present. And in that word, I am with you, we hear you belong to me. You're mine. I'm not letting you go that easily. I will be with you because you're my people. You're my children. I'm not going to let anything happen to you because you belong to me. And you belong to each other. You've been together. You know the stories that we've been sharing over and over again. You are a people of God, not just one person trying to figure this out on your own. You're my people. You've got me and you've got each other. And I don't know about you. When I hear, I will be with you wherever you go, that gives me hope. That gives me hope. I don't know how you're feeling. I am feeling a little bit discombobulated lately. I don't know if my daughter Allie will come for Christmas this year. I don't know if she ought to come. I don't know if I should put up a tree because that just makes me so sad. But I'm not alone. I have hope that God is in this, that God will quell the discontent south of the border, that God will take care of us as we have to figure out how to make sure that when a vaccination comes out, the people who need it get it when they need it. That God will raise up people who will model good behavior in the middle of a pandemic. God's got this, and that gives me hope. And even in that short little sentence, we're reminded that these people going into the new land are called and they're equipped to go there. They have just spent 40 years in the wilderness learning how to be a people, learning how to follow God. Those lessons will take them into the new land. You are called to be the people of God, to be the blessing in this new land. It not only promises to give you milk and honey and a place to rest, but you will bless the land. You will steward the land. People will know by the way you steward the land who the Almighty God is. That is your calling, and I'm equipping you in that. So in this small verse, in this command that seems sometimes overwhelming, what we really need to hear first is God's promise. And the command is, be strong and be courageous because I am your strength. I am your courage. I will promise to be there with you, and I am a promise keeper, and I will provide all you need as you move into new places. So I've been thinking about courage. If God is our courage, courage has the word heart in it. It means that he shapes our hearts to be able to work out of corazón. It shapes our hearts in order to be able to live from within. It's a core strength. A couple of years ago, Allie and Anna gave us an anniversary gift to be on a Segway. And if any of you know me, I am no athlete, so I was really nervous. And it was for the midwinter. So we're downtown Toronto, learning how to be on one of those Segways on ice and snow. And I'm like, well, this is it. I'm going to break a hip. And the guy who was instructing us was from the Cirque du Soleil. So he's doing all these tricks, and Tom, I don't know, he's going all over the place. They're fine, and I'm like, yep, yeah, it's like a broken hip waiting to happen. But the guy said to me, he said, it's about core strength. It's not about your balance. Let the machine do the balancing for you. You just need to work from your core. And that's exactly what courage is. It's working from our core. It's being confident, having faith in the God who has led us this far and will continue to lead us into the future. To work out of that God-shaped heart that allows us to face the unknown because we know he's facing it with us, that we are not alone. Sometimes I think we think of courage as the big acts in life. You know, the guy who saves a million people from a fire. Okay, I'm an exaggerator. But you know what I mean. It's the one who runs in. And sometimes we're surprised. I don't see myself as a person that would run into a fire, and yet I've had opportunities where I've had to reach inside and act without thinking too much. When we lived in Cincinnati, our daughter Anna painted murals for the summer, huge murals downtown Cincinnati on the sides of huge buildings, had to go up 5-6 levels of scaffolding in order to paint these beautiful murals. In the hot sun, long day. So I would pick her up after she had done a day of painting, and she'd say, Mom, can we just go and get some cheesies from the grocery store and a cold drink? So I remember saying one time, sure, Anna, she was exhausted, she had had it. So I had parked the car in front of the grocery store. I'd left the keys in the car so she could turn the air on if it was too hot with the windows down, whatever. I wanted her to feel comfortable. She was so tired. And I went in and I got one of those little shopping carts. You know those carts, the ones that you can only get a few groceries in. Not the big shop cart, just the little one. Got the few things she needed. And as I came to the door, out the door to the parking lot, I noticed a strange man getting in my van. And a blonde girl waving her hands agitatedly. And I thought, someone's stealing my van and my girl. I need to do something about this. And without missing a beat, I started running with my little half cart. And the plan was I was going to ram the van to stop it. I was running like a maniac. I was running 60 miles an hour. And again, no athlete here. But as I got closer, I realized, wait a minute, the Billy Graham sticker is not on the back of this van. But I am running full tilt. So now I have to tell my brain, you need to get out of the way of the van because you're going to get killed, not saving your van or your girl. So I got out of the way, the van pulled out, oh, and there was my van. Same color, same make, Billy Graham sticker on it, my girl in there safe. Sometimes we can pull out courage like that. Where did that come from? I really thought in my heart of hearts I would stop that van with my little cart. Here's the thing. Most of the time that's not what we're called to do. The courage in this moment with these people was, will you take the next step? Will you take the next step of faith and just keep moving forward? Don't go so far in the future wondering what the other side of the river is going to look like or where you're going to settle. Just take the next step. Be strong. And sometimes the strength we need is just to lift our foot and put it ahead of the other. I think often we imagine that God is asking us to do things that are way beyond us, when in reality, it's just leaning in to the next part, the next day, the next hour of our lives. Because once we do, that's where the surprise is. As soon as that priest's foot hit the water, what happened? The water parted. I don't even know if that foot got very wet. And there are standing stones in the middle of that river saying, this is what God can do and this is what he's done. And those standing stones are the testimonies of faith that remind us all. We are standing stones, testimonies of faith, of God helping us when we needed courage and when we needed to take the next step. We need to tell each other and encourage each other with those stories. Those stories are so important in reminding us, yes, we can be strong. We can have courage. And then the ultimate story that we cling to is what? The story of Jesus. I am with you. I am the great shepherd. I go ahead of you. I take you from this place that is not so good anymore, that doesn't have enough grass for you. You need new water. Trust and just take the next step, and I will take you to the next place. He marks the path for us. He leads us to the places where we can be refreshed and regain our strength. And the Holy Spirit, he lives right in us. He's the one who's constantly shaping our hearts to be courageous hearts, to be strong hearts, to beat with the same rhythm as God's heart. I wonder today, where do you hear God calling you to strength and courage? What is God asking you to entrust to him? What worry do we need to lay down? I know for me, I worry about my daughter. I worry about my country of origin. I worry about our church. I worry that there are churches that are so anxious right now that they can't imagine that there's a promised land on the other side of this because they're working so hard in such a vacuum. God says, be strong, be courageous. I am with you in this. There is a promised land, and it's not in the high by and by. I've got this. Where are you being called to strength and courage during a time of pandemic, during a time of uncertainty? How is God calling us each to imagine a new land, perhaps a new way of being church with each other, perhaps a new way of learning how to be hospitable to each other, learning a new way to understand how to navigate unprecedented change? What is God calling you to strength and courage as you take the next step? My encouragement to you would be to meditate on this verse, to write it on a piece of paper, to write it on your heart, to put it on your bathroom mirror every day when it's hard to get up and think, I cannot imagine that there's a future. Remind yourselves the way God reminded the people of Israel, his beloved, because you're his beloved, that he is with us, and therefore we can be strong and have courage. Will you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement in your word. Encouragement, giving us heart, giving us a sense that you are working from within so that we can deal with all of those things around us. God, help us to be your people who speak words of hope in a time that feels very hopeless. Help us to be people who are unanxious in a very anxious time, not because we can draw on our own strength, but because you are indeed our strength. You are indeed our courage. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks to the Lord, our God is
King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he's above all things. His love endures forever.
Heavenly Father, we come to you with hearts full of thankfulness. Thank you that you love us no matter what. Nothing can separate us from your abundant love. Thank you that when we are weak, you are strong. Thank you that you care about all the details of our lives. Even the smallest things matter to you. Thank you for your constant presence as you walk with us moment by moment, day by day. We are never alone. We simply need to reach out to you, our comforter, provider, shield, and strength. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we have a restored relationship with you. This beautiful gift of relationship is not earned by any of our striving or turned away because of any of our failings. God, you are a gracious gift giver. Keep drawing us to you as we go through this coming week, and open our eyes and ears to the beauty of the ways that you are constantly with us. Help us to see how you, Lord, orchestrate our lives in ways that can be none other than you. Cause us to pause and give thanks throughout this week for the many ways to lead and guide our lives, for your rich provision, and for your extravagant grace. In days of joy and in days of sorrow, you are with us. You want us to call out to you, to be dependent on you, to seek you. Father, make it the desire of our heart to seek you first and place all other things that beg our attention behind. As we rise in the morning, may our hearts be turned to you so that as we go out into the world, we do so with the heart and eyes to see the world and those we meet with your eyes. As we go about our day, may our desires and work align with your desire and work for us. Give us glad hearts as we toil. As we fall into our bed at the end of the day, may we think of our day and those we encountered. Take time to reflect on things we could have done differently, areas we may need forgiveness for, and all the things we are thankful for. Lord, we think about our own lives and the lives of those around us. We recognize both needs and blessings. Thank you for birthdays and anniversaries, for marriages and celebrations of all kind, for long-time friendships, and so much more. We are so rich. We also recognize that life doesn't always go as we want and that we are a needy people. We think of those who have lost loved ones. Lord, comfort. We think of those who are facing both physical and mental health challenges. Lord, draw close and heal. We think of those who are seeking employment and of those who are having financial difficulties. Lord, provide. We think of those who are dealing with relationship challenges, both within and outside of marriages. Lord, restore. We think of our children, parents, siblings, who may be wandering away from you or don't know you yet. Lord, draw them to you. We think of those challenged by addictions. Lord, break through and restore. We think of those who are lonely and hurting. Lord, by your Spirit, fill the voids and restore joy. Our list of needs goes on. Yet you, Father, know all our needs even before we speak them. Father, we all face situations every day when we need strength and courage. We are often tempted to lean on our own strength and courage to depend on ourselves. Help us to look to you first and foremost, and to lean on the strength and courage of who you are in every situation. Give us your strength and courage to trust you completely to meet our every need. In the name of the one who gave it all for our sake, Christ Jesus, amen.
Brothers and sisters, beloved, receive now God's blessing.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.
And all God's people said, Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. children with the blessing.